we have been around Watermark for a while now. We're actually high school sweethearts, so dated in high school, dated through college, and then got married, went to Baylor University together. And then pretty quickly after, Chrissy actually worked here at Reengage back in 2012, a long time ago, well before a lot of the things were going and running. And then I jumped on staff for about 7 years, as Mandy mentioned, doing the finances. Recently stepped off to go do some other fun stuff too. So we have loved not only being part of Watermark, but being part of Reengage for a really long time, watching this thing grow. So like I mentioned, we went to school together from third grade on, not just high school. We went to a small private school here in Dallas. And after much pursuit on my part, Chris agreed to go out with me. And then we went to Baylor University together. So she got her degree in child and family studies. I got mine in accounting. That should show you there's some differences between us right there. But we had a really volatile, I'd say volatile relationship while dating. We were both stubborn and hot-headed. This would often lead us to fights that ended with someone storming off. Chris dragged me kicking and screaming to a premarital class here at Watermark a year before we got engaged. That was the beginning for me to really realize what a high call it is to be married to someone. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 just says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others.
So we got married in May 2010. Circumstances were not ideal for a bride. The weekend before the wedding, I was hospitalized and diagnosed with Crohn's disease. The entire wedding and honeymoon were spent with me being sick while Brett took care of me. He did a fantastic job taking care of me, which started the process of me seeing him as my savior and putting him on a pedestal. Brett was in public accounting, and our first busy season of marriage, we would go days without seeing each other.
Yeah, so after 5 months of marriage, we joined a foundation group here at Watermark. So this consisted of six newly married couples meeting each week with a mentor couple teaching us what it looked like to live in authentic biblical community. It was easy for us to be in that group and feel like we had it all together. Our mentor couple graciously but boldly exposed some of the ugliness that they were seeing in our hearts, such as pride and self-righteousness. It's possible that we weren't quite as healthy as we thought we were.
As we were in full swing of learning what biblical community and authenticity looked like, I got pregnant at the beginning of January 2012. 8 weeks later, we learned that we had miscarried our first baby. I turned to Brett to give me comfort answers and to take away the feeling of loss and pain. Fast forward 6 months, I found out I was pregnant again. Much to my surprise and dismay, this pregnancy was extremely challenging. I found myself being angry with the Lord for first allowing a miscarriage and then being so sick with this new baby. Thankfully, our little girl was born happy and healthy in April of 2013. While I thought that we had all things marriage figured out, this baby brought a whole set of challenges to our relationship.
So by this time, I had moved out of public accounting and had been working at a hedge fund for a couple of years. The first few days after bringing home a baby was a complete blur. I barely remember what happened the whole week I was off work. I selflessly sacrificed sleep and tried to be as involved as I could be. This is when I began to realize how much I like my schedule. Now things would rarely go as planned when I was home. But before a baby, I could plan my day and my time at home to accomplish the goals I wanted on my schedule. On top of this, I didn't really feel connected to my newborn daughter. She wasn't interactive, and I didn't know how to handle that. So I began to throw myself more and more into my work. At work, I knew my schedule. I could set my day and achieve the goals I wanted. I was doing well and enjoyed the accolades I received for my achievements. I began to be distant, even during the hours I was physically at home. Even though this was natural for me at the time, I still tried to fight it. I knew I needed to be a strong husband and be present at home. I just didn't know how to do that. It was hard to battle what I wasn't used to fighting. It was much easier for me to let my title at work and my salary determine my value instead of letting Christ do that.
Being a new mom brought a whole gamut of unexpected challenges. After only being at a job here in Reengage for 10 months, I decided to stay home with our little girl. While this has been a desire of mine for many years, I found myself missing work. The the adult interaction and feeling like I didn't have any worth at being at home to somebody that couldn't even communicate with me. With hormones and the feeling of not doing anything of any worth, I began to look to Brett to give me value. Brett's job was very taxing, both while he was there and while he was at home. He would get home late most nights, which left me with all the household chores, including what felt like being a single parent to our daughter. The resentment began to build, but I wanted to be a good wife, so I kept it in. If you know me, you know that I'm not very good at keeping my feelings to myself. It cultivated what Brett likes to call independent Chris, which no one wants to live with, let alone be married to. Through community and God's word, I was confronted with many truths about selfishness and where I was to find my identity.
So during this time, my community group guys started noticing how much work was taking over my life. They started asking tough questions and encouraging me to find a way to scale it back. I didn't really want to do this, as I was afraid that it might change the things that gave me value. In the midst of these discussions, I was presented with a job opportunity that would help me in pursuit of finding my identity in Christ. The only problem was that I would be taking a pay cut, and it changed my title to a much less desirable one in the world's eyes. My initial response was definitely not. What went through my mind was I had worked too hard and too many hours to take a step back in my career like this. Through the encouragement of people I trust, I did take a step back and tried to truly evaluate this new position. This was the first time I started seeing and acknowledging how my sinful patterns were negatively affecting my family. It was also the first time that I saw my view of work and money may not align with what the Bible says about those things.
I knew this new job opportunity, especially since I had already worked here on staff, that it would change a lot of what was going on at home. While I didn't want to put my hope in the job, I truly believed that the Lord was leading Brett towards something that would do nothing but stretch and bring glory to the Lord. While our lifestyle would have to change financially, I was willing to take this as long as I had my husband at home and honestly taking steps to better his relationship with God. I told Brett how much I supported his decision, no matter what he wanted to do, because I knew that nagging him would only make the situation worse. I wanted to let him know I was on his team no matter what. But still, I had a lot of work to do on myself as well.
So after evaluating the possible job change and light and how it would positively affect my family and many other aspects of my life, we decided it was the best to go ahead and make the change. There was nothing magically different about my tendencies of control or withdrawing to work, but I was now more aware of them. I had a fresh start at a new job and was able to use that as a jumping off point for change. Honestly, I thought it would be really easy to just work less at my new job, but it wasn't. The temptation to work more and earn the approval of those around me was and is definitely still present. At first, it was tough for me to see what a huge advantage this new job flexibility really was. It didn't take long, though, for that benefit to become clear. A little over 7 years ago, we were standing up here telling our story while my wife was 31 weeks pregnant with our son. And just 3 weeks later, we received news that could have been easily a crushing blow. Chris was really sick. We chalked it up to another difficult pregnancy, but after being in the hospital for a week and running a bunch of tests, they found out that there was a tennis ball-sized tumor in the back of my wife's brain. We were stunned, to say the least. At first, there was an 8-week plan for delivery of our son and then removal of the tumor. Then things started spinning out of control. The symptoms progressed at such a rapid rate that our son was born through emergency C-section just days later. The doctor immediately made the call that we could wait no longer. She needed emergency surgery to remove the tumor. The next few days, there was so much uncertainty. All I could do was to wait and see how, if, my wife's body would recover from the brain trauma. Through this time of waiting, our family and friends never left our side. Without people around me constantly reminding me of the truth of God's word, I don't know if I would have been able to make it through this difficult time.
The biggest challenge for me was missing so much of my newborn baby and 2-year-old's life. By God's grace, I don't remember the pain and the agony I was in for almost 2 weeks. I do, however, feel like I've missed out on a bunch of my kids' life. I didn't get to bring my newborn premature son home from the hospital. Didn't get to walk him through the door to our home for the first time. I have very foggy memories of him meeting his big sister for the first time because of all the medications they had me on and the pain that persisted, even with their help. I did, however, get to see the church be the church, the hands and the feet of the man I say I believe in. This time, in my life, the rubber met the road. Was I going to hold secure to the Savior I'd put my trust in years ago, or was I going to sit and cry out, why me? Community played a huge role again through this process. Our group showed up at our house with meals, took the children on more than one occasion to give our parents a break, organized people to clean our house, mow our yard, and provide us with meals. Most importantly, our community reminded us that the God we serve had not abandoned us, but loved us with a love that is unconditional and never once left our side. They reminded me of truth. My identity is not in being Brett's wife, not being in Landry and Colson and Ellie's mom, not in this half-bald woman that couldn't even hold her son when she got home. They reminded me that I am a beautiful daughter of a king who wept with me and who comforted me in the hardest and darkest of times.
So 4 weeks after being released from the hospital, Chris's headaches started coming back. After a couple of checkups with the neurosurgeon, they found out that the glue they used to close her skull had gotten infected. She would have to go back in for yet another surgery. This felt like such a step backwards in so many ways. She had just started getting some of her strength back, so to need more surgery and more time in the hospital was really discouraging. What was supposed to be a routine surgery did not go as planned. Her brain swelled up and would not allow the fluids to drain properly, which led to a really, really scary night. If her body was unable to get rid of the fluid, they were going to have to take part of her brain out to make space. This was not fun news again. Thankfully, through meds, her body reacted and was able to drain the fluid.
2015 was a rough year, and we were so thankful to close the books on it. On our Christmas card that year, we even put, "Here's to kissing 2015 goodbye." After the year we had, we were ready to be done with hospitals for a while. Unfortunately, God had a different plan. That February, it was Brett's turn for a little bit of a scare. Brett got sick, and we waited for the 24-hour tummy bug to pass. As the sickness worsened, Brett started complaining of terrible lower back pain. Because he's also type 1 diabetic, I called his doctor to explain the issue. They asked us to come to the hospital to pump him full of fluids. After arriving late Tuesday night, they took blood work and started an IV with the full expectation that we would go home. Once they got his blood work back, they immediately admitted him to the hospital. His kidneys were failing. The next few days were just a waiting game. His kidneys continued to worsen despite fluids and meds. The doctors had no idea what was happening. Once his levels reached a dangerous high, they put him through dialysis. From there, the doctors explained that this might be his new reality. If his kidneys would not switch back on, he would need to be on dialysis for the foreseeable future. Again, we were sitting in the same hospital, dealing with an unknown future, and again, the people in our lives showed up in a big way. The Lord was showing me yet again that I was to trust him with whatever the outcome would be. Thankfully, that one round of dialysis started Brett's kidneys again, and he quickly turned the corner.
The common theme throughout our story has been community. Our marriage has always been relatively steady. No, things haven't been perfect, but God has protected us from being in much worse places. In the good times and the bad, these friends have always been there. They've sat with us in living rooms, in hospital rooms. We've faced so many uncertainties and medical challenges, but one constant is that these people have always been there to walk through it with us. They remind us of truth when we are tempted to believe the lies of this world. A couple verses that remind us of this need are Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn," and Hebrews 3:13, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." So if you don't have anyone in your life that knows what you're struggling with on a daily basis, that is one of the first steps. Get people around you that can spur you on towards Christ, who surround you in hard times with encouragement and admonishment, and who rejoice with you in times of victory.